Thankful to be able to welcome my brother Sanjay to come up and share the word with us this morning. There's a tagline that they have with their ministry. It's called "Until All Have Heard," and it's a picture of the lives of both Karen and Sanjay. They tirelessly strive to share the gospel with those who have not heard the gospel before. And he's an example to me, and I'm glad to hear be under the preaching word this morning.
Pastor Joe, really, really appreciate your kind introduction. It's always a special thing to come to East Brandywine because of the friendships that God has raised right from the day one of how you've been partnering with me and Karen and LCMI. But I think beyond the introduction of LCMI to East Brandywine Baptist Church, the friendship that God has given to me with Brother Jan Coudrier. Obviously, many of you know, obviously he's with the Lord, but such a dear friend. Of course, we see Beth here this morning. It's always a joy to see her. What a blessing to see the partnership that God has raised with East Brandywine Baptist Church. So thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers, your partnership with the ministry. It is through this partnership God is allowing us to reach thousands of children and parents and train pastors on the ground. Thank you so much also for sending Pastor Brian and Pastor Joe, Aiden and Courtney this July to Sri Lanka on a short-term trip. We had an incredible time, wonderful time. You know, I've got to know Pastor Brian and Pastor Joe when I come to church here to minister among you. But then when you're with them on the ground, traveling and moving around and experiencing new food, and you know, the friendship grows to a different level. And so I really, really appreciate that friendship that God allowed us to have and continues to grow it more. And then a special note on Aiden and Courtney. Young they were, but my word, these guys were such a blessing to us as they served the Lord, and they did an excellent job. And got to see, and Karen and I, we always talk about, how they were able to minister when things were so different than where they have come from. And that they just come as the Lord has called them to come, and they served so faithfully among us there on the ground. And I just loved, again, another special note on Pastor Brian and Pastor Joe. I love their teaching. They had a chance to train 24 pastors. I love their humility their deep determination to the Word of God. And I'm so thankful to God for that, how they have carried that mission. And before we go dive into our study this morning, I also want to make a special note on a couple things. Yesterday, we had Karen and I had a wonderful time to be here for the mission celebration Saturday. Those of you who were here, you will know what I'm saying. We were so richly blessed. I was telling Karen that, hon, I know we are not on the on the schedule to speak, but I would love to be there because I wanted to just hear from my other brothers and sisters who are also being called by God to be in the full-time ministry. And I just wanted to hear from them, and so that their sharing will not only bless us, but also encourage us to be more faithful, just like them, as they've been. And so we had marvelous time. And there were some tender moments as well. I have to tell you that my heart was melting just to hearing some of the things that some of our friends were sharing about their families. Something like the thing Brother John has prayed about Paula. Our heart just melt. You know, she's going through some real difficult medical concern. And then the family, the children. So I'm just reminded once again that God calls all of us. Not only those friends who are on the mission field, but you and I who are in the church, sitting in the pews, just wanting to stand with them and walk with them as we minister. A final thought here before we get into the study of our word this morning is, I have to say, sitting in the front line here, seeing your worship team. They have done such an excellent job. And so blessed my heart. And I know Karen will say the same thing too. We're just soaked in all that wonderful songs that you've selected for this morning, because they go so well with what God wants us to learn this morning through His Word. And there were two young guys standing in the front and another young fellow playing the piano. I was so impressed with these guys. Young as they are, they did an excellent job. And I just love this, the two front guys here. They were just singing aloud. You can see in their heart, in their face. I love it. I love it. It's just so, praise God that God has raised some quality team members here at East Bryanawyne. Enough of all of those comments there, but I want us to spend time this morning in God's Word here. Pray with me before we open the Word. Father, we are so grateful to You. God, we are grateful to You because we can stand here not in fear. We can be grateful to here where we can don't have to put comforters around these windows that we have in this church. Close down the doors in the back. God, grateful to You for this freedom that You give to us in this land. Lord, help us as we even us to study Your Word. Teach us, oh God. God, I pray that You would indeed not only teach, shake us, Lord, today through Your Word, so we can arise from our chairs where we are seated and go out and indeed praise You for Your namesake, for and make Your name gloriously high, first in my life, in our lives, and as a church here. We commit ourselves to You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Ah, my word. This morning, we're going to be studying from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It's a very well-known passage. Any one of us who've been a believer for X number of years and attending a church like this, you have heard this passage. I'm pretty confident you have also heard many friends may have preached, even Pastor Brian and Joe may have done it as well already on this passage that is so well known, known as the Great Commission. And so as we study this morning, these three verses, I want us to not only study, but I want us to consider, because there are two themes that come out of these three passages. Three verses. One is on the lordship of Christ, and then how that lordship of Christ in our lives is an outpouring into doing the Great Commission. So my heart's desire this morning is that as we study these three verses, that we not only study, but I want us to consider how the one theme, the theme of the lordship of Christ, should fuel us into greater engagement into the Great Commission. That's my desire. That's my prayer this morning for us. And look at with me in verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is the Lord that we are talking about. He is the one who is the Creator God. He is the Lord of all things that you see that we don't see. So as we look at the Lordship of Christ, I want us to consider what it looks like at the Lordship of Christ in our lives. Because I said earlier on, I want us to consider this theme of this critical topic of the Lordship of Christ, how it should fuel the missions. So I want to talk about first and lay some foundation on the aspect of what it does mean like. What does it look like to have God, the Lord Jesus, to be the Lord of my life and your life? One I want us to consider here is that if Christ is the Lord of our lives, He is my master. He is my king. And who is a king who has an absolute authority on my life. Whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, Jesus Christ is the ruler of this world. We have enough passages that shows us that not even a single star moves without his authorization. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, then he has to be the master, the king, the Lord. He is the king of kings as well. Philippians chapter 2 verses 9 through 11 shows us that therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, the God of God, to the glory of God the Father. That is what it implies if Jesus is the Lord of your life. And as a Christian then, this supreme authority goes much more deeper, has deeper implications, as it demands our total allegiance. That he is my master, that would mean that he is the one who authors our lives. He is the one who orders our steps. One of the things that I constantly ask the Lord every single day is saying, Lord, order my steps today. Because if I order my own steps, you know, and I'm confident you can also echo with me, it's a disaster. I think you can recall the number of times that you may and I may have done, and then you wonder, like, why in the world this day ended up the way it has ended up? And so if Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, he is your master, he is my master, he is our king. He's the supreme controller of our lives. That would mean that his agenda then becomes my agenda. We are not only, our agendas are aligned with him, but that we are committed to his word and his leadership on my life and in our lives. And that also should reflect, because of that, that my heart is going after his heart. My tears will be what his tears will be for. His vision will be my vision. His passion will be my passion. And his love is what will drive me in my mission of my life. The second thing I want us to consider as the Lord, if Christ is the Lord of our lives, would mean that it demands complete surrender and submission. A core element of the redemptive work of Christ Jesus is the Lordship itself. That not only he saves us and he becomes a Savior, he becomes a Lord of our lives as well. Romans chapter 14 verses 7 through 9 shows us this note here. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Verse 9 kind of brings it to closure here. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. The element of being having that, the demand to complete surrender and submission is a tough matter. I think we all can relate to that, right? It is a matter that we struggle with, we wrestle with on many different counts. On many decisions that we consider making, we struggle, you know, even if God might be prompting us to go one direction, we may want to go the other direction. And I know we can easily point out what Jonah did in the Bible. But just to put the Jonah aside for a second, I'm confident we all do the same thing as well. And so it is a very tough thing. But then if Christ is indeed the Lord, then he demands complete surrender and submission. Because when Christ redeemed us, we accepted the fact that Christ not only saved us, but also recognized that the one who saved us is from eternal condemnation, is the Lord of the heaven and on the earth. He is the Lord of the dead and the living. This would mean that I am to surrender my personal rights to submit my life to Him and to allow His leadership take prominence in my life as well. And because of that, I can trust this Lord with my plans for my life. The third thing I want us to consider as we look at the Lordship of Christ and what it means in our lives, it means that it leads to a greater faith, an increased faith. Because the salvation I have is from the start to finish the Lord's work. I can be confident that my Master, my King, my Lord will bring it to pass all that He has promised for me, for His name's sake. Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippian church, chapter 1, verse 6 says, I am sure of this, he says, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord, at the day of the Christ Jesus. And the same apostle writing to the church in Thessalonica in chapter 1 of verse chapter 1 Thessalonians, verse 24, he says, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So even as we trust God in our lordship of Him in our lives, as He shows us to see His increase in our faith, this becomes a greater foundation for more courageous living, confident living, and a hope-filled living, and a bold living, all to increase our faith so that we can display Christ as the Lord of our life. The fourth thing I want us to consider as to what it means, like what is the Lordship of Christ in our lives, it would mean that it will fuel our mission. It fuels our mission. Our mission in life is to worship Him and to see Him being worshipped. I was sharing earlier on in the first service that, you know, three songs that we sang today this morning has one phrase called praise the Lord. I don't know if you noticed or not, as much as powerful those songs are, as much as powerful that phrase is, praise the Lord is an incredible charge for you and for me. In fact, you know, when I go back to our home, people in our countries, a normal Christian greeting, when you see another brother come across, they greet each other by saying, praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, sister. It is not saying, have a good morning, have a good morning, you know, type of thing. That's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, you're asking your brother in the Lord, you're asking your sister in the Lord to praise Him. Because God has done a great life, great thing in your life. God has changed you. God is the Lord of your life. Now, I am to praise. When I'm praising, I am making Him known. Everywhere He is not known. Westminster Catechism says the chief end of man is to glorify Him and enjoy Him. We are to glorify Him and enjoy Him. So that means that again fuels our mission of who we are and what we need to be. Proper worship of Him will lead us into God-centered missions. My mission should be commit my life to the Great Commission, nothing else. Pastor John Piper talked about Apostle Paul's aim or ambition as he shares from Romans chapter 15, verse 20. He says Paul was controlled by this ambition. What is that ambition? Paul's ambition was to make Christ known where He is not known. That is what fueled the mission of Apostle Paul. And that, my friends, should fuel our mission as well. If Christ indeed is the Lord of our lives, then my life and our lives should be consumed in making Him known, to praising Him, and make sure everyone else praise Him as well. Hence, the Great Commission is the only commission that I am to be engaged in. Nothing else. Nothing else. King David, writing in Psalm 96, verses 3 to 5, declares this way: "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols." Notice with me this: "But the Lord made the heavens." And that is the God that we are to make much about. That is the God that we are to proclaim, no matter where you are, no matter where I am. King David had deep passion for the Lord, and he longed for his people to declare the Lord's glory. Like King David, our true worship of God, which is the lordship of Christ in our lives, should fuel our longing for him to be worshipped. Hence, missions is an automatic outpouring of Christ being the Lord of our lives. Let me repeat that once again. Hence, missions is an automatic outpouring of Christ being the Lord of our lives. Since we had an opportunity to lay some foundations about this first theme, about the Lordship of Christ and what it means and how it should passionately point us to proclaim Christ in our mission of him, now let's look at what that mission is. Verse 19 and 20 gives us very clear directions and instructions about that great commission, that great mission that our Lord Jesus himself has given to us. Verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age." That is a great commission. That is a mission that Christ Jesus himself has given to every single believer. It's not for only missionaries. It's not only for the pastors. It's not only for the elders. But it is for every one of us who have made Christ our Lord and Savior. What does it mean then? What does it Great Commission looks like in our lives? The first thing I want to share with you for this is, it is a command to go under the leadership of the triune God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see that very clearly to the Lord himself. When he is charging us, when he's commissioning us, he said we are to go in the leadership of the triune God. That this mission is not our mission. It is not our agenda. Remember, we talked about earlier on, if the Lord Jesus is the Lord of my life, I don't have an agenda. My agenda is his agenda. And so his agenda is to go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and make him known everywhere he would send us. In a way, the reality of that statement is that you and I have been engaged or charged, assigned to be an ambassador of this triune God. Ambassador would mean that I represent the one who is sending me, that I don't go on the field and do what I want to do, but rather when I go on the field, I represent the one who has sent me, and I will do what he has asked, commanded me to do. The Lord Jesus, when he is saying this charge, he not only saying it to us, but he lived it as well. John chapter 4, verses 34 and 35, you find that the Lord Jesus himself tells to his disciples that you don't know the food. I mean, you don't know the mission he talked about in the context where he was talking to the Samaritan woman. And the disciples were wondering where the food is going to be. He says, "My food is to do the will of the one who has sent me and to finish it." So he was an ambassador sent by the Lord, and he did it what the master has sent him for. And it's the same thing he's telling you and me to do the same thing. We are charged to go and make Christ, who is the Lord of our lives, to be known, make him known where he is not known. But then do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, which is a parallel to the Great Commission, we see that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will bear, you'll be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So when we look at this Great Commission, as God has charged us with his mission to us to represent him, we can expect certain things to happen. As we go and be engaged in this Great Commission, we can expect the presence of evil. Because when you go, we are entering into devil's territory. The prince of the world who is running the sinful world will oppose God's work and God's word and God's mission. He will fight tooth and nail so that the work of the Lord will not come near him or into his territory. That's something we can definitely expect. Whether you are in the U.S., whether you're in Asia or in Africa, no matter where you go, when you're doing God's mission, the adversary will put up a fight. He will put up a fight. When we go like that, when we will expect persecution, opposition to the gospel. Like some of you may have been following the news about Nigeria. It is said this year alone, some of the news outlets talks about over 7,000 Christians being killed in this year alone. 7,000 of them are brothers and sisters whose lives were taken because they were representing Christ, because they were praising God. Again, I don't know all the context of it. In the country of China or Iran or India or other countries, there is persecution that we can expect when you go and do the Great Commission. But I want to consider the third thing here as we go, is that the power of Christ is clearly present. Because you're going representing the triune God, and you're going in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of Christ is available and is present everywhere you and I will go. We don't have to feel defeated because the Lord Jesus himself is a victorious one. We can be certain of the power of Christ, which is present, visible, and victorious. Verse 18, we looked at it earlier passage. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And in verse 20, in the latter part of verse 20, he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of age. So there is a certainty as we go about and going and doing the mission of God and being engaged in the Great Commission, even though we will see the presence of evil, the persecution that we might experience. But know, the power of Christ is right with us because the Spirit of God is living in us and working through us for his name's sake and for his glory. Because of this, our God reigns over the devil and his power. Philippians chapter 2 renders this way, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Colossians 2 verse 15 shows us that he has disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him, meaning Christ. So the mission that God has charged us, the Great Commission, then we go in the name of the triune God and in the power of Christ. The second thing I want us to consider here is that the Great Commission is a specific strategy in making disciples. It is a very specific strategy. Because the Lord himself, because his word, he is an all-knowing God, that we know that, right? Our God is an all-knowing God. He has this thing planned out. You and I don't have to go into on our Google search and type in, and using AI tools, what the strategy could look like in making disciples. The word of God is very clear to us. The word of God is very clear to us. The Lord himself has given us. It says, to start, we have to preach the word of God. Preaching of the word of God is a biblical way of raising and making disciples. This is very central to making of disciples. Evangelizing the world and around us with the word of God as the triune God's ambassadors, those he has chosen to be saved will be convicted by the Holy Spirit unto repentance and will surrender their lives to receive the free gift of salvation. And so it's very important that as we go about and doing this Great Commission, that we are finding ourselves, aligning ourselves with the strategy that Christ himself has given to us. That is, to be teaching. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Because it has the power. It has the power to save lives. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the commission that God has given to us, we go in the name of the triune God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But then we also apply the strategy that God himself has designed for success. And the third thing I want us to consider under the Great Commission that God has given to us is that this Great Commission, the target group for that is all nations. All nations. It's because the nations that we know of are not worshiping the Lord Jesus. Again, picking up the quote from Pastor John Piper, there's a famous quote he talks about. It says, missions exist because worship doesn't. When we look at the context of where we are today in our world, from a 30,000 foot view, today's global population is set to be around 8.17 billion people. And in that, groups like Joshua Project shows us that there are about 17,704 people groups. And from that 17,704, the total number of unreached people groups are around 7,626, which is about 43% of the world's population are yet to be reached with the gospel. That's a lot of numbers from a 30,000 view. But if you zoom in further, kind of get closer to the action, so to speak, the context where God has placed our ministry in South Asia, the five countries that we have been doing, having the opportunity to minister, which has the highest records have shared with us here in the missionary updates as she ministers among people with disabilities with HVMI. By the way, it's a great ministry. When I was at BCM, I had a wonderful privilege of ministering along with dear brother Tim and others at HVMI. Great ministry, focused towards the greatest forgotten unreached people group, people with disabilities. Lausanne Conference estimates there are over 600 million people with disabilities in the world today. 600 million of them. And their research further shows that there's only 5 to 10% of this people with disabilities, also known as the overlooked, is effectively reached with the gospel. Only 5 to 10% of them. A very unforgotten, unreached people group. And Pastor Joe and Brian and the team from East Brandywine were with us in Sri Lanka. We had the privilege of doing pastor training in the very southern part of Sri Lanka. And there were about 24 pastors that were there with us at that time. And one of the pastors, as part of his testimony about how God has impacted his life at the conference, talked about with tears in his eyes, saying that he could not believe there are ministries that focus on reaching people with disabilities like they're his own two kids. This pastor brother has two children who have disabilities by birth. And we found out that two other pastors who were attending there has a very similar story. And they were just blown away with the fact that there is an organization that is wanting to give attention to children like their children. And they talked about, my timer is up here. So I had to stop. I'll finish up soon, brothers. But the task is undone. As I said, the task is undone. These pastor brothers are wanting to come and minister to them in their communities. And we're grateful to God that we're looking forward to start our special needs camps in that part of the country in Sri Lanka. Psalm 96 verses 4 through 10 sums up very well why the target of the Great Commission is all nations. So if you're able to go with me to Psalm 96 verses 4 through 10, just follow with me as I read, because I think the Word of God is more better than how I would render it to you. That I'll just read that passage for you. And I'm confident that these passages reflect exactly why the target for Great Commission is all nations. Psalm 96 verses 4 to 10. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. It will be judged. He will judge the peoples with equity. The passage is challenging us to ascribe, meaning give glory to God. And it's challenging to the peoples of all the world. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. As I said, in the context of where we serve, almost 43% of the unreached people groups that are found in our countries are not worshiping the risen Savior, the Lord of my life, the Lord of your life. Hence, the Great Commission is for us to see the worship of Christ is not only happening in your own life, in your own heart, in your own family, but that we ought to be engaged with our Lord actively to see him proclaimed where Christ is not known, where Christ is not worshipped, where Christ is not been given glory due his name. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that this should propel us to get engaged in greater way in the mission of Christ, which is the Great Commission. Pray with me as I close our time here. Our Father, we are so grateful to you for the opportunity that you've given to us today to be in your word, to be able to sing wonderful hymns and songs, all pointing to this great challenge of yours, great charge of yours, to praise your name, to make your name known at the uttermost parts of this world. God, I pray that you would indeed work in our hearts today, even as your word went out, that you would make our hearts melt to the things that melt you. First, my own life, in our families, in areas that we live, and the uttermost parts of this world, that we will see you, my Lord, the Lord Jesus, being praised and worshipped in his holiness. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.